Well, it was great to see a bunch of young people here, the front few rows. I think I lost count at about 34. Tremendous to see all those kids down, heading down to the Sunday school. Pray the Lord will bless them down there as they spend some time together, as He will. We can be assured as we look into His Word here upstairs this morning. I was challenged a couple of months ago, to think a little bit about how we can improve our relationship with God. I thought that was a fascinating subject that I was kind of asked to consider, because it impacts us regardless of where we are in our walk with the Lord. I think it could be said, I'm confident that it could be said, that we could all have a better relationship with God. Some here might feel that they are walking well for the Lord. If that's the case, we praise the Lord for that. But if it's the case, I'm sure that you would say you would like to see the relationship with the Lord improved. It'd be better. Others fall away a little bit sometimes. Matthew chapter 24 contains, I'm not going to ask you to turn there, but in Matthew 24, the Lord is speaking to His disciples about things that will happen at the end of the age. He talks about things that are going to be signs of the times at the end of the age. And one of the things that He says is this in verse 12 of chapter 24, "And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold." The love of many will grow cold. And He equates this to the amount of lawlessness that will exist. And in our society today, we see a lot of people doing their own thing, a lot of people disregarding God's law and doing their own thing. And we see that there are many who have in the past followed the Lord who are drifting away from Him. I have seen that in my experience, in my family, and among friends that I know, whose love for the Lord has grown cold. And so I want to think a little bit this morning about how we can improve our relationship with the Lord, our Lord Jesus Christ. How do we improve our relationship? Let's just ask for the Lord's help again as we think about this subject. Father, we thank You for the time that we have to spend together this morning, and we ask that as we look into Your Word today, You would guide our hearts and our thoughts and our minds, prick our hearts, we pray. Help us to see and to appreciate and to understand more about our relationship with You, our God, and our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, and challenge us with regard to our commitment, our fervor. We pray that we might be seeking to grow in our knowledge and in our understanding and in our love for You, our God, and in our relationship with our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So as we think about that this morning, we ask for Your help. In His precious name, amen. What is relationship with God? We can understand, I think, quite clearly what relationships are with each other. We are all involved in relationships of different kinds. What is our relationship with God? I'm going to suggest that in its most fundamental sense, we all have a relationship with God. Everyone in the world has a relationship with God. Whether they choose to acknowledge it or not, there is a relationship that exists between us as human beings and God Almighty. Some around our society would deny that and claim that they have no relationship with God. We could, I suppose, claim that we have no relationship with our government, for example. But there does exist a relationship between each one that lives in Canada and the government of Canada, or the government of Ontario, or the municipal authorities. There is a relationship. We might choose to deny it. We might choose to ignore it. There might be some who would say, I'm going to go and do my own thing. But we would do so, I would suggest, to our peril. It generally will not go well for you. In a similar way, we all have a relationship with God, whether we want to acknowledge it or not. God is creator and sovereign, has a relationship with us. And so there is a sense in which we all have a relationship with God. But I want to speak more particularly this morning about the relationship of believers in the Lord Jesus Christ with their Lord, and what that means and how we can improve that relationship. Those who are believers, if you're like me, you probably have often thought about your relationship or even spoken about your relationship with your Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, as a personal relationship. We have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. What does that mean? We have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Then at the very fundamental step, we would say that it is an active relationship with someone who we are communicating with. That we have fellowship, as it were, with the Lord Jesus Christ. A personal relationship. What does that mean to you? And how personal is that relationship between yourself and your Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ? I want to suggest that the first place we might look to understand or to appreciate or to deepen our relationship with the Lord might be to just step back and think about the awesome reality that God chooses to have relationship with us. I want to think this morning primarily about three little words that might help us to improve our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Three short words, but before we look at those, let's think for a minute about the basic fact that God Almighty desires to have a personal relationship with each one. Turn with me to the book of Psalms, chapter 8. We'll start there with this text, Psalm chapter 8, the 8th Psalm. And there we read in verse 3 these words, "When I consider the heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him?" This verse brings to our attention the stark reality that God is Almighty, Creator, Sovereign of the universe, who put all of these stars into place, who set the billions of stars in their position, created all that we see around us on the earth and in the heavens. And the psalmist asks, he marvels that the God of that creation would look down and consider on this little planet, on this little sphere, among the myriads of stars and planets that exist in the solar system. He looks down upon this little planet, and there he sees on that little sphere these little creatures running about, scurrying about, doing their thing. Millions of them, and chooses to have an interest in each one, to have a concern about them, to exercise care and consideration for them. It is an awesome thing that God Almighty wants to have a relationship with me as an individual and with you personally, to know the burden of your heart, to understand the things that you think, to care about the concerns of your day. He wants to have relationship with us. I have, over the last number of years, come more and more to appreciate how this is a theme through the pages of Scripture. The message of the gospel is a message of God choosing to have relationship with men and women. How he created men and women to have relationship with himself. And at the beginning of the Bible in Genesis, in the first few chapters, we have the account of how God created men. How he came down and walked with them, men and women, in the cool of the day in relationship. Fellowship and communing, enjoying the company of men and women that he had created. It's the story, the Word of God, the story of how men turned their back on God, how sin entered. It's the story of how God worked from there through the pages of Scripture, through a plan that he had conceived to bring men and women back to himself, to bring them back into relationship with him. A story that involved the death of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, on the cross at Calvary to pay the price for our rebellion and our rejection of God. It's a story of how God is going to restore again fellowship with himself, with those that turn back to him. As we come to the close of the book in Revelation, we see the picture of God returning, and it says God dwelt with men. God dwelt with them. The story of the Bible is the story, the great story of God reaching down in care and concern for men and women to bring them to himself that he might have relationship with them. And so we want to think about how we can improve our relationship with God. Let's start there. Let's start with an understanding and appreciation of the marvel of the fact that Almighty God looks down at you and me and desires to have a relationship with you. He wants to talk to you. He wants you to talk to him. He wants to have a relationship with you. He cares for each one of us to the point that he gave his son to die on the cross for us. Relationship with God, what a marvelous thing that we can have relationship with God. In a lot of ways, I'm going to suggest that improving our relationship with God is not unlike improving our relationship with others that we might know. In some ways it's very different, but in some ways it's not. We want to improve relationships at a human level. There are some things we might want to do. And some of these things we would be wise to consider with regard to our relationship with God. I want you to think for a minute about someone in your life who perhaps was once very close, once very precious to you, and perhaps someone who's grown a little bit away. Perhaps the relationship has gone cold for different reasons, I'm sure. You might think of someone, maybe it's time, or maybe it's distance. For some reason, that relationship has faltered a little bit. It's not what it once was. Maybe a family member, maybe a parent, maybe just a good friend. What would you do, what could you do to improve that relationship? Well, there are a number of things I'm going to suggest that you might do, and one of those, three of them actually, I want to think about a little bit. Because we can do similar things with regard to our relationship with God. Almighty God, sovereign of the universe, wants to have a relationship with us. You know, a couple of weeks ago, actually, I guess it was a couple of months ago, my company asked me to go out to see a plant. I work for a home builder, and we buy quartz countertops and put them in many of our houses. And so the company sent me on a little plant tour to go look at the plant that manufactures these countertops. Quite a successful operation down in Minnesota, and I traveled down there. Enjoyed the tour of the plant. It was very interesting to see how these countertops are manufactured, the precision that's involved and all of that. We learned a lot of interactive sessions with the staff there teaching us about the tops, countertops. Just before we went home, the night before we were to fly back, they took us to dinner at a very nice restaurant. Staff came out and we had dinner. And to the surprise of all of us, including the staff of Cambria, Marty Davis, who is the owner, still a family-run operation, came by the restaurant. Wow, we were all surprised. I didn't know a whole lot about him before I went down, but I'd looked him up before I left. He's a very wealthy man, a billionaire, one of the wealthiest men in the United States. And he came by our table, and there was about 20 of us who were there on that tour. And he came by and visited with every one of us and spoke with us. He made a point of visiting each of us, talking to each of us, engaging with each of us. I don't know how you are, or whether you've ever had opportunities to engage with someone at maybe outside of the sphere of your normal circle. I found it, frankly, quite awkward. I found it difficult. I'm not usually speaking to people like that. This is a man who has the ear of presidents, past and present, and engages with them in discussion about the economy and so on. To be honest, it was an awkward situation. We're not talking here about engaging this morning with people in this world. Now, he was a man just like I. He puts his pants on one leg at a time. But it was difficult. It was challenging. But we're not talking about speaking with someone on that kind of a level here this morning. We're talking about a relationship with the creator of the universe, the sovereign God. How do we relate to him? Marty Davis, when he came by to speak to each of us on that occasion, I understand that he wasn't coming by to find out how my wife and kids were, or to ask about what, you know, the struggles I was having with my life or in my day, or the challenges I have at work. He just wanted me to buy his countertops. That's why he was coming by to see us all. But not so the God of heaven, the Lord of the universe. His interest in us is real and genuine, and he wants to know us, and he wants us to share his burdens with him. How do we deepen our relationship with him? First word I want you to think about is a little word that's kind of antiquated. We don't use it very much, maybe with the exception of thinking about advice. It's the word heed. Heed. H-E-E-D. Heed. If we want to improve our relationship with God, maybe this is a first step. Maybe this is somewhere we can start. I'm not suggesting these three little words I'm going to share with you this morning are the be-all and end-all. There's probably lots of other ways that we can think of to improve our relationship, but here is one I'm suggesting that will help us. Heed. What does this word mean? What does it mean to heed? I think of heed as being a kind of a combination of listening and obeying. Listening and obeying. Sometimes, you know, we can listen to somebody, but we're not really listening. I'm sure you can relate to that. I'm sure I'm not the only one who's had this experience. You're listening to somebody, you might even be nodding your head, huh? Yeah, and it's going in here and it's going out there. Maybe some of you are, well, maybe that's the experience of me right now, I'm not sure, but that's that can be our experience, can't it? We're listening, but we're not really taking it in. We're not in that case heeding. We might be listening, but we're not heeding what is said. We want to improve human relationships. It's a good idea for us to listen, not just letting it go in one ear and out the other, but listening sincerely and intelligently to the things that are being said. It's no different with the Lord. When the Lord speaks to us, we need to listen and pay attention to what is being said and let it sink in. Heed. And to obey. It's not just listening and letting it flow by, but it's also not just obeying out of rote. This morning, at an earlier service, someone shared with us some passage from Isaiah chapter 1, where the Lord talked about those who were obeying, but only out of rote, so to speak. It was just the routine, they did it, and so they offered their sacrifices, because that's what was expected, that's what they were to do. But their heart was not in it. And the Lord speaks against that kind of obedience as well. Matthew chapter 18, or 15, Matthew chapter 15, the Lord speaks to a group of Pharisees and scribes. And he quotes something that Isaiah had said, actually, and this is what he says in verse 8. These people draw near me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Their heart is far from me. And the key to the relationship that we should have with God is the heart. It's the heart that God wants to speak to. God wants our obedience to be sincere and genuine from the heart. He wants us to go willingly to do the things that He has asked. He wants us to do it enthusiastically and vibrantly and with concern and care. And so when we combine listening and obedience in these ways, listening and taking in and obeying willingly and happily, because that's what God wants us to do, we have something that comes close to heeding what Scripture has to say. Heeding what Scripture has to say. I want to look at a couple of examples. Jeremiah to start, and I'm going to ask you to turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 17. Jeremiah, prophet from the Old Testament, in chapter 17. And here Jeremiah, in great frustration, is speaking to the people. And Jeremiah's experience was that when he spoke for God, the people would not heed. Sometimes they wouldn't even listen, but most certainly they did not heed. When they did hear, it didn't sink in, and it didn't result in obedience. And Jeremiah became frustrated over the years with this. Time and time again, he went to the people. On this occasion, he's speaking to them about the Sabbath and the fact that they are neglecting to obey God's regulations with regard to the Sabbath that He had given to the children of Israel. Thus saith the Lord, verse 19, go and stand in the gate of the children of the people, by which the kings of Judah come in and by which they go out, and in all the gates of Jerusalem, and say to them, hear the word of the Lord, you kings of Judah and all Judah. And all the inhabitants of Jerusalem who enter in these gates. Thus saith the Lord, take heed to yourselves, and bear no burden on the Sabbath day, nor bring it in by the gates of Jerusalem, nor carry out burdens by your houses on the Sabbath day, nor do any work, but hallow the Sabbath day, as I have commanded your fathers. Verse 23, but they did not obey or incline their ear, but made their neck stiff, that they might not hear or receive instruction. That characterized the people of Israel. That characterized the relationship that they had with God down through the ages. They did not obey. They did not incline their ear. They had stiff necks, and they did not receive instruction. And so their relationship with God grew cold. Their relationship with God was terrible. And the Lord goes on to say this through Jeremiah in verse 24, and it shall be, if you heed me carefully, says the Lord, and He goes on to describe how they will receive blessing. If they heed, they will receive blessing. But verse 27, if you do not heed me to hallow the Sabbath days, then the consequences will flow. And the relationship will sour, and things will not go well. Do we want to have a better relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? Heed what He has to say. Listen, take it in, absorb it, obey it. We sang a song, several of them this morning. And as I was sitting in the pew singing this song, what I realized is that my actions were just a very good example of what not to do. Because I often sit in the pew, and I'll read the words on the screen, and I'll sing them heartily, but they're just coming out of my mouth, and I'm not thinking about what I'm singing. I'm not absorbing, really, the words. Have you ever sat down to read the Word of God? And you finish up after 15 minutes, half an hour, you close the Bible, and you go, and you... what was I just reading? It's gone. You're not taking it in, you're not thinking about it. God wants us to listen, to heed. I want to read you another passage from Zechariah. I'll just read it for you about heeding in Zechariah chapter 7. Verse 8, the word of God came to Zechariah saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, execute true justice, show compassion and mercy, everyone to his brother. Do not oppress the widow or the fatherless, the alien or the poor, Let none of you plan evil in his heart against his brother. But they refused to heed, shrugged their shoulders, stopped their ears so they would not hear. Yes, they made their hearts like flint, refusing to hear the law and the words of the Lord of hosts that had sent by his Spirit through the former prophets. Thus great wrath came from the Lord of hosts. They refused to hear. They refused to heed. And as a result, their relationship with God plummeted. If we think that we can have a good relationship with our spouse or our neighbor or someone at work, but we never listen to what they say, you can imagine where that relationship is going to go. Why do we think it different with the Lord? He speaks to us through his word. If we want to have a relationship with God, a good relationship with God, if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ and you want to have a better relationship with God, then listen, heed what he says. David was a man after God's own heart. I'm going to move on to the next one, but before I do, just one quick word. I was down at the Guelph Men's Conference. I'm sure many of you know that. I tout it often here. Jerry Libby was speaking. He was speaking to husbands, and he related this. He said that he spoke with his wife, Jackie, before he came to the conference, and he asked Jackie, he said, I'm going to go down, I'm going to be speaking to husbands. I want you to tell me, Jackie, I want you to tell me, what advice would you suggest I give to the men with regard to their role as husbands? And this was what Jackie said to him. This is what he reported. Jackie said, tell the men to listen to their wives' hearts. To listen to their hearts. Wow. I have a hard time sometimes just listening to the words. Can you just give it to me in English? Just speak to me and I'll try to listen to that. But to listen to your heart, really? But that's what it's about, isn't it? Isn't that what true relationship is about? Not just to listen to the words, but to take them in and to understand what's being said. I want to have a better relationship with the Lord, then it's about the heart. Heed. Heed. Second word I want to think about is another little word, four-letter word, walk. The word walk. Scripture uses the word walk often, uses it with regard to our relationship with God. Most often, the word in Scripture is used to describe what our conduct ought to be like, or sometimes even what our character ought to be. Walk. We are to walk in various ways. Scripture exhorts us, for example, to walk in love, Ephesians chapter 5, or to walk worthy, Ephesians chapter 4. Galatians says we are to walk in the Spirit. We are to walk by faith and not by sight, 2 Corinthians 5. And so in these different ways, the Scripture talks about how we should conduct ourselves through our walk. But I want to think about the word walk in a different sense this morning. I want to instead think about walk more in kind of in line with how it's used in, for example, John chapter 12. In John chapter 12, the Lord Jesus Christ says this, to walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. The Scripture also uses the word walk to describe the fact that we are to be active in our relationship with the Lord. Walking involves activity. Walking is an active engagement. And if we are to walk with the Lord, it means that we are busy, involved in his work. We are to walk. God created us to be active. And he created us to be active in relationship. Again, think of it on human terms. Think of that person who you know whose relationship with you perhaps has grown cold. How can you make that better? I can tell you that if you're going to do something with that person once every 5 years, it's not likely your relationship is really going to be that great, is it? But if the relationship is active and you're engaged with that person and you're making regular contact and you're doing things together, relationships can improve. It's no different with the Lord. If you want a relationship with the Lord to be better, then be active in service for the Lord. Be active in your relationship with the Lord. Be engaged, doing the things that he wants you to do. So we can be improving our relationship with the Lord. We can be active in service for the Lord, and we need to be if we want our relationship to grow. Walk with the Lord. Be actively engaged with the Lord. Genesis chapter 24. I want to see the example of Abraham's servant in Genesis chapter 24. In chapter 24 of Genesis, in fact, we have not only the example of Abraham's servant, but the example of Abraham himself as well. You might recall the story. We're not going to look at the story. We don't have time, but this is the account of Abraham sending his servant off to find a bride for his son Isaac. And so Abraham's servant makes a long journey to a distant place to find a bride for Isaac. And when he arrives at that place, to the surprise of those who are there, they say, "Wow, how did you get here? What brought you here? And how did you come to be here?" And Abraham's servant describes the situation, and he describes the instructions that he had received from Abraham. And in verse 40, this is what he says. He reports what Abraham has said. He's there engaged with these distant relatives to whom he has gone to visit. And they've asked him how it came to be that he's there. And he says, "Well, this is what my servant, my master Abraham said." This is what he said, verse 40. "But he said to me, 'The Lord, before whom I walk, will send his angel with you and prosper your way, and you shall take a wife for my son from my family and from my father's house.'" Abraham's servant observed that Abraham was a man who walked with God. He walked with God. Abraham had a relationship with God, and it was a close relationship. He interacted frequently with God. He walked regularly with God. In Abraham's case, it was quite literal. He walked all over the place with God because God gave him instruction to go, and he went. Sometimes he would walk and look for God's leading as he walked. But the servant of Abraham also walked in his relationship with God. I want you to look specifically, perhaps the most famous verse in this little passage at verse 27. Abraham's servant says this, and he said, "Blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who has not forsaken his mercy and his truth toward my master." Notice this expression, "As for me, being on the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren." As for me, being on the way, the Lord led me. Abraham's servant was walking, and the Lord led him. He wasn't standing still waiting for some instruction of the Lord. He wasn't sitting back there saying, "Okay, Lord, when you make the way clear, that's fine, I'm going to move ahead. I'm just going to sit here and wait." He got up and he got active in service. He got up and was active in service, and as he was active in service, the Lord led him along the way. The Lord wants us to be active in service for him. He wants us to be walking with him. And if we want a better relationship with the Lord, then let's get up and start walking and start serving the Lord. Be active in service for the Lord, and your relationship to him will improve. Relationship requires active service. It's often been said you cannot steer a parked car. Get busy and be active in service for the Lord, and he will direct and he will guide, and your relationship with the Lord will grow. Colossians 2 and 6 says, "As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him." So walk in him. Be active in your service for the Lord. Last word that I want to share with you, the last step that we might have, another short word, is the word give. We've thought about heed. We thought about walk. I want you to think about give. As in human relationships, if you're going to take a position that is basically selfish and stingy, you might expect the relationship is not going to be very good. I'm not here just speaking necessarily financially. In fact, maybe not primarily financially, but how do you give of your time and your energy and your effort and your finances? How do you do it? How good is your relationship with the Lord? This is one perhaps that's more difficult to hear, but it is necessary for a healthy relationship to be loving and caring and giving. And that's true on human terms, and it's true with our relationship with the Lord. Matthew chapter 6, the Sermon on the Mount, the Lord says this, "Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. I've often thought about that text, and I generally think of it the other way around. For where your heart is, there your treasure will be also. But that's not what it says. It's the treasure that kind of leads and the heart follows. And that caused me to ask the question, where do I invest my energy, my effort, and my finances? Because that's where my heart is going to be. My heart is going to follow after where I invest those things. Invest in the Lord, and your heart will follow. You want a better relationship with the Lord? You want your heart to be closer to the Lord? Where are you giving of your time and your energy and your effort? 2 Corinthians chapter 2, 2 Corinthians chapter 8 gives a wonderful example of those who gave. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, we'll just close with this text. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. There we have a beautiful example of Macedonian believers who were giving. And it says this, "Moreover, brethren, we make known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality." Wonderful statement, very complex. "For I bear witness that according to their ability, yes, and beyond their ability, they were freely willing, imploring us with much urgency that we would receive the gift and the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And not only as we had hoped, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and then to us by the will of God." They gave themselves to the Lord. You want to have a better relationship with the Lord? How is your giving? How is your giving of your time? How is the giving of your energy? How is the giving of your finances? Where are you investing? Because that's where your heart will be. A deep relationship with the Lord requires that we give, that we are generous with God's people. God loves a cheerful giver. The relationship of these believers was rich with the Lord. It says that they were full of joy. They were going through difficult times. They were in deep poverty, it says, yet they were generous and they gave. And as a result, their lives were full of joy. They're described as joyous in their giving, giving of themselves first to the Lord. Christ is our ultimate example in all of these things, of course. Paul speaks about his life and his giving. Galatians 2, he says, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." He gave himself for me. Paul also writes this. He implores us to give our bodies as living sacrifices, Romans 12 and 1. To give our bodies as living sacrifice and service for the Lord. It's all reasonable service. Do we want to improve our relationship with God? Do we want to have a better relationship with God? Heed. Walk. Give. Father, we thank you for this instruction from your word. We pray that you would sink these thoughts deep into my own heart. Help me as I leave here to think about these things and to be moved to take action, to walk in these things, to walk in the truths that I read and we hear. We pray that this would be the case for each of us. We long to have a better relationship with you, our God, and we realize that there are things that we can do that will cause our relationship to be stronger. Help us to take these things to heart. and to follow through. We ask for help in this through the power of your Spirit and through the work of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, in our hearts and minds. We ask it in his name. Amen.